Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Boca.
What did I tell you that defines an emergency?
What? Say it one more time.
Hi, I'm Boca.
And I'm hard of hearing.
And welcome to the Bromance Podcast. That's two dudes talking about romantic comedies because love is dead, movies are real, and Hugh Grant just won't quit. Or I think he has, actually. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. The hookers really took it out of him.
Is that a part of his personal life? Because I never really followed him in the tabloids. What was page six saying about Hugh Grant? Yeah.
He liked the ladies. The ladies of the night and Grant got along well. And then after that story broke, it was hard for his target demo to relate to him anymore in rom-coms for a hot minute.
Oh, I mean, I thought he just got tired of doing rom-coms the way that many men seem to get tired of doing rom-coms and say, like, you know what? I don't want to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the song Many Men by 50 Cent was written about Hugh Grant being sick of doing rom-coms.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun fact. I didn't know that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what movie are we talking about today?
2 weeks notice. Did I pick this one? I feel like I picked this one.
You picked this one for sure.
I picked this one. It has Sandra Bullock being Sandra Bullock, peak mm-hmm. Sandra Bullock. It has Hugh Granting his dick off in this movie. Did you like him as the president in that movie?
Prime Minister, Love Actually.
There it is. then you're going to love him as rich, eccentric real estate tycoon in this movie because he's the same guy. And he's the same guy in everything. And then that's all I... Oh, it also has a friend, woman, you'll know this maybe, woman who plays friend of every leading woman in every rom-com ever made.
Not in everyone, but she's Sandra Bullock's bestie because she was also Miss Congeniality. Right?
Was she also the bestie then?
Are you talking about the woman... who was in Miss Congeniality, the one who like quietly had a lesbian crush on Sandra Bullock's character, and she was like and she was also here as Sandra Bullock's best friend again.
Yeah.
So that made
it's
me
amazing great. How many mortgages you can pay just being Sandra Bullock's movie best friend.
Yeah. So Heather Burns in Miss Congeniality, she plays Miss Rhode Island, and then she was also here as character's name I don't have handy, but is best friends. Yeah. But why'd you pick this movie? Why'd you pick this one?
Oh, I like this movie. It was one of those, it's just like a good brain dead movie that is like, if you want to watch Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock just have great chemistry and just have a fun rom-com time, it's this movie.
Did you say great chemistry?
I don't know, they had pretty good chemistry.
Above average chemistry?
Of the movies we've seen, they've had good chemistry.
We've seen, at this point, 72 rom-coms we've already discussed.
And they had better chemistry than Adam Sandler and whoever the fuck in whatever the fuck we just saw last week.
Oh, and Punch-Drunk Love? You struggle with nouns, man. Old age is not going to be kind to you.
It really isn't. I'm going to hit my Biden years around 38.
Oh, God. Thanks, Brandon, or whatever the fuck. I don't know how that became fuck you, Joe.
Oh, yeah. What is that again? Something Brandon?
Thank you, Roger. Let's go Brandon. Kind regards, Steven. I don't know. It's two words, white man, and then it's fuck you, Biden. It's like, okay. You bring that up at your next meeting.
I will.
Yeah. So this is my first time ever seeing 2 weeks notice. I had no ties to it. And it's like, oh, yeah, we've seen a lot of Hugh Grant rom-coms. This is not in his upper half, okay?
Whoa.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to give you a chance to answer me and litigate this. I'm going to name some Hugh Grant rom-coms, and you're going to say, is this movie better or worse, okay?
Okay, yes.
All right, so the first one, Music and Lyrics.
Better.
That's kind of easy.
Drew Barrymore is terrible in everything.
What do you got to make it so? I mean, we're podcasting. We're supposed to be definitive and strong. I love to straddle that fence, but it's like, yeah, I'm trying to think, when have I actually enjoyed Drew Barrymore? And
the best thing she ever put out was a song using her name as a pun. And she didn't even make that.
Who did that?
I don't know. I don't remember the band. I just remember it was mildly catchy. And it was the only time I've enjoyed hearing the word Drew followed by Barrymore in anything.
Ouch. Okay. How about Bridget Jones' Diary?
Bridget Jones is better than this.
Yeah. 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 I agree. Yeah. This... Throwback to like season one, About a Boy.
This is better than that.
Oh, I might give About a Boy more.
Wow, because you hated About a Boy.
Yeah, it's weird. I think my standards have lowered for rom-coms 2 years later.
There it is.
I'm just like, you know what? In the grand scheme of what this genre tends to offer, that was at least something different. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not that it's good. It's just better than
you're gonna this. One day, if we did this long enough, one day you'd be like, you know, Love Actually is a pretty great film.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the way that, like, if you work long enough, like, your standards just get lower and lower, and yeah, eventually
that's rom-coms.
Rom-coms, baby. All right, so yeah. I did Bridget Jones. Okay. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
So that movie is better. I enjoyed this movie more.
That's insane.
Yeah, don't care. This is like, one is like going to like a $3 sign restaurant on Yelp, and I'm eating Del Taco. But I'm telling you, blow for blow, the gap's not that big.
That metaphor makes so little sense, because I don't know which one is the good thing in what you just said.
$3 sign Yelp. That has to be a good restaurant. It's expensive. I mean, $4 would be premium, but I don't think it's a $4 sign film.
Wait, so which movie is the $3 sign?
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, because like it's good and like good. It's legitimate. Yeah.
Yes. It's like a high-end Mexican restaurant versus Del Taco. But when you just want to eat a taco and then you account for like ease of consumption and price, it closes that gap quick.
No, but here's the thing. It's not like Four Weddings and a Funeral is not an art film. This isn't Four Weddings and a Funeral wasn't Punch Drunk Love where you had to like interpret symbolism. It was just a much better rom-com.
I don't think so.
It was great. You liked it.
It was well crafted. This is just better. This is just significantly better because it is cheesier and cornier, and it has two better people in it. Well, it has Hugh Grant in both, but I will say younger Hugh Grant was better than older Hugh Grant. He's really Hugh Granted here. It's like when Matthew McConaughey caught on to what it is to be Matthew McConaughey, and then you started watching him do himself, and you're like, oh, this is too meta.
Okay, you're very wrong about Four Weddings. It's in the top 10 all time. Next, what about me? What about Notting Hill?
Fuck. This is Godzilla versus King Kong for me, because I also think that Notting Hill is not the best, but it hits so hard. It's just iconic. It's not necessarily great. It's just iconic.
Notting Hill's definitely more iconic than 2 Weeks Notice.
That's also why I picked this. 2 Weeks Notice is on the footnotes of rom-com history. Yeah. For those that have seen it, I think they think it slaps. But if you haven't, you don't even know it exists. And I would rather watch Sandra Bullock in this movie than I'd rather watch Julia Roberts in that movie. And with the cast being the exact same, I'm going with this.
Mm. You know what I realized? Julia Roberts has better rom-coms than Sandra Bullock.
Blasphemy, I will fight you. Defend yourself.
We discussed this before, right? We had a whole social asset, like doing a blow for blow, because they were kind of like two. They were the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, the shout out Winning Time of 90s rom-coms. But think about it. Like, Julia Roberts has movies that actually were good. Sandra Bullock has like two of those max. Because Julia Roberts.
Oh, I thought just in rom-coms.
Oh, in rom-coms that are good versus good rom-coms. Like, a movie that is good and it is a rom-com versus just, oh, it's fine. Because remember, Julia Roberts has My Best Friend's Wedding, Mystic Pizza, which we'll get to later this season, but it's legitimate, Pretty Fucking Woman, and those are the ones at the top, and I'm definitely
forgetting. I give you Pretty Woman. I haven't seen Mystic Pizza yet, so that could be great.
Yeah.
My Best Friend's Wedding, I could blow me. I know that movie doesn't do anything for me.
That's in the top 15 for me. I mean, Runaway Bride was bad. You didn't like Runaway Bride. Shut up. Don't do this to me. This to me.
Just because Richard Gere enjoys a gerbil in a place where the sun don't shine doesn't mean his films aren't quality, Boca. Just because he's not allowed in PetSmart doesn't mean we can't enjoy a Runaway Bride.
Well, I really like My Best Friend's Wedding. Pretty Woman is like a top 10 for most people, top 5 for many people. Mystic Pizza was really good. And then Notting Hill, it's in the mix. Like, I didn't love it at the time, but I'd rather see that than this one. All right, last one, and then we'll actually talk about the movie.
Okay.
Which would you rather watch? Love Actually?
Love Actually.
Yeah. Okay, because you like
Love Actually. Love Actually is the Godfather Part 2 of Godfather Part 2.
Okay, a couple questions. One, have you actually seen the Godfather Part 2?
I have.
Okay, just had to check that. Two, what the fuck?
So When Harry Met Sally is the Godfather Part 2 of rom-coms. But in my soul, Love Actually is The Godfather Part Two of When Harry Met Sally. It is the third level. So if the number one level is Godfather Part Two, and the next closest is When Harry Met Sally, this is the next closest to that.
That dude.
Are you saying like far into it, you'll melt your own brain.
The third level of like a deep inception?
Yes, exactly. If we were gonna incept that inception, we would get Love Actually. It's my second favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I've probably just bullied you out of discussing how much you like Love Actually even more, because you know I'll just, you're in
but
risk.
But now I'm back.
You're at risk of me physically striking you.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Is Crazy Stupid Love probably a better version of Love Actually? Yeah, of course it is. But Love Actually, baby, go fuck yourself. It came first. It came first. And as we all know, if you come first, you win. That's how sex works. I mean, rom-com.
Yeah. Okay. Subtext. Okay. All right. So this movie, we're actually going to talk about the plot of 2 weeks' notice now. Just for context, this thing came out December 20th, 2002. It's directed by Mark Lawrence. It stars Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant. You know what? Actually, I'm sorry. We need to talk about Mark Lawrence.
Okay. Mark Lawrence, I believe, is the man that is allowed Hugh Grant to afford all of his expensive homes and the ladies of the night.
That's essentially it, right? Mark Lawrence, his whole thing is he does collabs with, like, on his Wikipedia second sentence, best known for collaborations with Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant. So that's why this movie makes perfect sense. He has never I didn't love Miss Congeniality. It was okay, and I'm being nice, right? But like his whole thing is these rom-coms. He has directed 7 movies, and 2 of these, one was an episode of Sweet Valley Highs. That's not a movie. The other was like a video short, additional scenes of 2 Weeks Notice. So he did 2 Weeks Notice, which we just discussed or are about to discuss.
Yes.
Music and Lyrics, which we discussed and did not enjoy. Did you hear, but Music and Lyrics also starred Hugh Grant. Did you hear about The Morgans, which starred Hugh Grant and then also Sarah Jessica Parker? And Yeah.
No, I just, Sarah Jessica Parker, I just made a physical sound.
You're such a fucking hater. Leave her alone.
She's just so whatever, you know?
You never engaged with her at her peak, right? Because you didn't watch Sex and the City.
No, or The Triple Crown.
Asshole. Okay, leave it alone. Well, all I meant to say is that, like, yeah, Mark Lawrence, his shit doesn't hit.
Whoa. His shit produces box office mediocrity and pays for a lot of people's second and third homes and liposuction.
He wrote Miss Congeniality 1 and 2, so that gets credit for...
Those both bang. Those bang hard.
Oh, I haven't seen the second one.
They bang.
The first one was okay. I mean, I
did
laughed.
Did we do that one?
Yeah, we did. Remember, we had Ari from the Obsessed podcast come on.
You are correct.
Yeah, I was too high. Everyone go back and listen to me just die laughing and nobody knows why. Okay, so should we talk about the movie?
Let's talk about the movie.
I think the folks want us to talk about the movie. We got two people. Okay. We got Sandra Bullock, who plays an intelligent, highly competent, highly progressive lawyer who specializes in historic preservation, environmental law, and pro bono cases in New York City. Garrett.
Fuck.
You idiot. You rube. You fucking, you're like Charlie Brown kicking the football. Like, you're surprised that I asked you this question.
Every time. Yeah. But I will say, okay, so this time around, I watched it today, and I was aware of having to remember things, so things have entered the mind palace, or so I thought. I've been sober, which I think is the problem, these last few episodes to start this season. I have not touched the sauce since we last recorded. Yeah. This is the first night of touching the sauce, and I'm hoping that it lubricates my brain.
Why are you framing it that way? Can you just say I'm having a drink?
Alcohol is the key, Boca, to unlock the beauty that is my brain.
Yeah, okay. Fucking, what's that name then?
Okay.
And then you don't get it after all that fucking preamble.
White woman, early 2000s. White woman, early 2000s, British. Hugh Grant's British. I'm British. I am Substance abuse.
Drugs. Whoa.
British substance abuse drugs. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Lucy, there it is. Ha! LSD.
Oh, that's what that song's about.
No, they corrected it years later that it isn't actually about that, but that's what people always thought it was about.
Oh.
It literally is about John Lennon's daughter, Lucy, and she had a painting where she drew people looking at the sky with diamonds.
Well, that's very direct. Fucking Rosebud over here. Yep. Yeah, so that's the correct. You get points. Congratulations.
Hey,
you got it.
When are we going to cash in any of these points? That's my first W of this season, by the way.
Exactly. I mean, how much cash do you think you get? You get a gumball, Garrett. Three episodes in, one name down. So,
hey.
So that's Lucy, right? And then Hugh Grant is an arrogant, needy billionaire, real estate developer, womanizing playboy, very naive. What's that name?
First, before we get into that, okay, Donald, you
got up and clapped in your fucking living
room. I just want to make these movies great again, Booker. I just want them to be amazing.
President's Parker, you know?
I know. Instead, I just put on my red hat. I gave a full standing ovation for the remainder of the film. I didn't even watch the rest of it. I applauded through the entire rest of the movie.
It was wild. I couldn't get a hold of Garrett last January, and I didn't connect with that.
Nancy Pelosi! Anyway. Billionaire real estate tycoon. Oh, yeah, they had him put his letter on everything. But what was the letter?
There are 26 letters in the alphabet.
W. The W. Because I remember Wonder Woman. Wasn't it? Oh. Was it a W? Do we have a W?
The letter W is present in this character's name.
Okay, so if it's on stuff, it's the last name, not the first name.
Thank you.
I could have sworn I had something for this. He's a fucking idiot, but he's lovable. Oh, the monkey thing, George.
What?
George of the Jungle, lovable idiot who's also a random white guy in an environment that loves him regardless of his actions. George W.
Is that what happened in George of the Jungle?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Oh, I haven't seen it since probably 1999.
You know what's funny? I don't think I've ever seen The Mummy. I just remember that guy as playing George of the Jungle.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, I only know Brendan Fraser from George of the Jungle. It'd be like being like, oh yeah, you know Will Smith, the guy that...
From the After Earth?
Rapper, or yeah, the guy from After Earth.
Yeah. He's about to get his first Oscar this year.
For what?
Best supporting for King Richard. Is it best supporting or best actor? I think it's best actor.
That.
It was good. I didn't like it because I feel every overbearing parent will watch that story and be like, see,
yep.
You stand your kid's ass their entire existence. They too will win record numbers of Grand Slams. It's like, not the takeaway here. All right. But yeah, so George and Lucy are the two characters, and they sure are opposites. I wonder if these enemies will become lovers. And so Lucy, she's hard at work and trying to keep people from tearing down stuff in New York. And George is being a fuckboy who fucks his – he doesn't fuck his assistant. He fucks the chief legal counsel in his corporation all the time.
Flex. Absolute flex from downtown. Pull up from the logo, fuck the chief legal counsel.
For three!
I don't fuck the interns. I fuck the third most important person in our company.
Mm. And so Lucy meets George, and she's trying to stop the destruction of the Coney Island Community Center. His brother is also a piece of the company, and he's the brains behind the operation. George is just the face. And so the brother's like, you need to hire a legal counsel, and you need not to fuck them. Don't do that. And so, excuse me, he's like, oh, you're trying to – I've heard your name because it comes up every time you're trying to block us from destroying something, and you went to Harvard. You should come join my – be my chief counsel. And she's like, fuck you. You're the devil. You're just like a younger, less disgusting Trump, and who knows how many islands you have. But he's like, I promise not to tear down the community center if you become my legal counsel. What was your first thought when you heard that sentence?
He's gonna tear down the community center.
He's gonna fucking tear down the legal center. It's now worse. Yeah. It's like when a patient becomes too friendly with the doctors on a medical show, or a cop says they're 2 weeks from retirement. I'm like,
and all you say is like, it's not lupus, right? And they're like, it's not lupus. And you know it's lupus. It's immediately lupus. It's the episode that it's finally lupus.
Yeah, that's the title. It's like lupus question mark. So fine. She joins. Between like, hey, I want to the community center, and you get to the, we do corporate social responsibility as an attempt to keep the government from properly regulating us. So, you get to decide.
Also tax write-off.
Yeah. All that together. So it's like, fine, you get to direct where those funds go. Plus they don't tear down the community center. She's like, all right, bet.
She was going to make 250 grand a year in 2002. That was a lot of money then.
That was tall. Yeah. 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 I'll be happy with that now.
Now that's enough to fill up a gas tank.
Oh boy! Thanks, Joe Biden.
Sleepy Joe,
asleep at the wheel. He called Putin himself and said, "Hey, let's raise oil prices." Putin said, "Wiggity wiggity wiggity," and then they did it. And that's
we did it, Joe.
This podcast is sponsored by Turning Point USA. Do you hate women? Go to turningpointusa.net probably.
I will say though, in that one clip of Kamala Harris saying "We did it, Joe," was she hammered? Is she slurring those words?
Everyone's like, "Yo, was she drinking?" Or I mean, listen,
she does a lot of interviews where she'll be like, "And I'm like, are you on the podcast right now? Are you podcasting?"
She's just like me.
Yeah, I can relate. You earned my vote. We're both in front of a microphone and maybe not sober.
Throwback to when Coach Sarkisian of the USC Trojans was like, it came out in the press like, oh yeah, he likes to drink Fireball. And sophomore in college, Boca was like, I too like to drink Fireball. I like you a lot, Coach Sark. And then it stopped being fun. It wasn't, haha, he likes Fireball. It was, oh no, he's addicted to alcohol. And I was like, oh, this is, stop the ride. I want to get off. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. But the movie, right? We got to talk about the movie, you know?
We got to talk about the movie. It's so good.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
I like this movie, and I will say it with the straightest of faces.
Heterosexual
of faces.
You are like a toddler with object permanence, okay? Because whatever rom-com we most recently watched that you didn't hate could be in your top 10.
Facts, because I hate them all. I don't hate them all. I hate. So the genre, here's what it is. I'm a big fan of trap music. And you would know that from looking at me, because everything that I radiate says big fan of trap music. But it's all I work to. It's all I listen to when I'm at the gym or in my feels. Or it's just Tuesday and it's 3 p.m. and I'm microwaving a chicken sandwich. And I am.
You microwave your sandwiches?
I have a meal prep. I take the bread off. It's a whole thing. Anyway, I know. Trap is a thing. Trap as a genre doesn't necessarily lend itself to high art. And the more ignorant it is, sometimes the better it is. Chief Keef had a moment, and he's not a great lyricist, is my point. Now, rom-coms, if they're kind of the happy medium between absolute dumpster garbage and they're great. When they try to be more than that, they're trash. And that's a couple escape that. It is.
Let's see. Rom-coms that tried to be more than just trash. Palm Springs.
That was good, but that wasn't all that highbrow. That was just well made.
Wait, so what's a highbrow rom-com that you're like alluding to?
Like, okay, so you're not going to like this. And that's Say Anything? Is that the one with the speaker?
You
on
didn't
that?
Like Say Anything?
It's fine. It's trying too much. There's so much dip on its ship. No.
Ugly. No. Unlovable. No. Unworthy of safety, protection, or voting rights. What the fuck?
I want simple, easy to consume calories in my rom-coms. And this movie gives it to you in an IV drip.
You rube. You well-dressed rube with little taste. I'm sure the boys back home loved you, huh? With their fumbling fingers, nails still with dirt under them. Did they smell the land, Garrett? You fucking idiot. You want to look me in my eyes on this day in the wake of daylight savings? the most holy time in our calendar year. You want to look me in the eye, Garrett, and tell me Say Anything isn't good?
You know, it technically is, but it's not as enjoyable. It's not as enjoyable. It's like having upscale casual. Fuck that. Give me McDonald's. Just give me a Big Mac to my face. Let me be the fat piece of shit I am. Don't take me to the Habit Burger and give me a hand job and make me feel like people. Put me in a drive-thru where I belong. I'm a piece of shit. I'm watching a rom-com. Treat me like the pig I am.
Don't make your newly found self-loathing blind your vision to how good Say Anything was, okay?
It was technically good, but I just would like to say this movie slaps.
We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, Garrett was going to face the error of his ways, and we're actually going to cover what the hell happened in 2 weeks' notice. And we're back. Garrett apologized to me off mic and admitted...
I apologize to no one.
Shut the fuck up. Garrett apologized and admitted that Say Anything...
I didn't say anything.
Fuck you. Yeah, so we're here to talk about 2 weeks' notice, and I've been talking about everything but it because this movie is mediocre. But at least give you all who are listening what you signed up for, right? So you're welcome. Wow. So
this movie is great.
Is this in your top 10?
Okay, so anyway, Sandra Bullock plays a very high high achieving individual who went to Harvard Law School and was the head of some sort of Harvard newspaper thingy that they'll get to later that I'm sure is profound that I'd have no concept of.
Was she in Harvard Law Review?
That's what it is. I always delete those. So anyway,
delete those like they show up in your inbox.
Yeah, they're like, hey, somehow, it's the Harvard Legal Review or something, and I'm like, hey, fuck you.
Somehow ended up on the listserv, and no matter what you do, you can't get off.
I can't. All I do is watch reruns of Crank Anchors, and in between episodes, I delete pictures, delete emails from the Harvard Law Review.
Okay.
Anyway, she starts working for this guy, and he starts becoming dependent on her every single word because she's very competent and high functioning, and he's very not functioning. And it always is funny in these movies that, like, you know, I'm gonna go on a tangent. So every leading man in every rom-com of this era was the same guy. White dude with money who's significantly older than the woman. And I get there's unrealistic expectations for beauty standards on women, particularly during this era. I feel like guys are starting to catch up, but everyone's now just moving to unrealistic, but that's okay. So back then, rich. You had to be rich. And is he rich? Yes. Is he competent in any capacity that make you feel like he had any ability or reason to be this wealthy? No, he was not. And as such, he had to lean on her for pretty much every single business decision that he was ever going to make, to the point that you're like, how in the fuck did he get in this position in the first place? And she can't take it. He's calling her day and night with every single fucking request that could happen until a certain point where she has to literally leave a wedding because he said it's an emergency. And the emergency is what exactly, Becca?
The emergency is he can't figure out his clothes for some sort of event.
Yeah, he has a speaking engagement.
Yeah,
and
with shirt, shoes, and tie. Yeah, and they spent a lot of time together, and there was most of it. It was like, yeah, he's annoying and dumb, and she's indignant. She's Lisa Simpson, is a very helpful analog.
Do you remember my work wife at the company that we worked for, where I had a work wife?
The one who I know.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a bigamist, so I'm never sure. But yeah. I know your former work wife.
It's same energy. Yeah, same energy.
Oh, I don't see it. No, because there's a wild streak in your former work wife that isn't present here.
There is a wild past, not a wild current.
Yeah.
Also, she said something about a jaguar and a pretzel.
Hey, yo. So, okay. And shout out that person. And... eventually, after having been forced to leave Miss Rhode Island's wedding, Sandra Bullock's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm done. Consider this my 2 weeks' notice. You're a man child. What have you. The one moment of their relationship that I loved, I was like, they didn't do enough of this. This is when Harry met Sally level of intimacy. they sat down for like a lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just immediately, without having to say anything to each other, they immediately start messing with each other's food to get at how they like it, right? Like, yeah. One started moving the ice cubes. Like, look, Sandra Bullock
is Hugh Grant moves the ice cubes into Sandra Bullock's glass. And Sandra Bullock is like, won't even touch the beet in her salad, so he has to eat her beet. And yeah. It was cute.
Yeah, because they just spent so much time together. And it's like, they needed more of those moments where it's like they are so in sync and complete each other's sentences rather than just...
They had great chemistry.
That moment, the rest of it, I was like, I wasn't with it.
Whoa. It had just fuck already written all over every moment.
That's more about me wanting to see Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant have sex than it is about me thinking these two are having chemistry in this moment.
Well, you are incorrect.
Okay. But he tries to resign. Her departure isn't so easy. So first, Sandra Bullock, she tries to look at other firms, but everyone tells her no. She's kind of blacklisted. She's explicitly blacklisted. That's what this was.
Yeah, which is funny because the way he goes about blacklisting her is like, she's too important to our business for you to hire. It isn't even, he doesn't besmirch her character. He literally is like, I value her too much for mm-hmm. you to ever hire this woman.
Which and they're all like
a unique angle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's less insidious so that she one day will be able to work again, but just like right now she can't go anywhere. But it was just like, yeah. It was so she can't do that. She goes and is like, well, fuck you, I'm stuck. So he gives in and says, all right, fine, but you have to find your replacement. And it's like, okay. You're looking for a replacement, and we know what you need. We know what you like.
While they're falling in love with one another, goes out of her way to like take as long as possible to find her replacement and exclusively interview people that are like not really competition to her, which lets this go on longer than it probably should have.
Yeah, but eventually the competition does arrive because this interviewee, played by Alicia Witt, shows up. I'm actually without a position, but she just knew she was a more recent grad from Harvard Law. She knew of Lucy. But even though she doesn't have real estate experience, which is a lot with what Hugh Grant's character deals with, it's a mix of Lucy at least lets her get through the door because, oh, you're Harvard Law and you knew who I was. And then Hugh Grant sees her and she's got it going. She serves. And she's like, oh, Hugh Grant hires her on the spot. Because he's kind of just backslide.
She's so trash. God, she's so trash.
Say that again?
She's so trash. I get Sandra Bullock is leaving your company. But mm-hmm. if you... And I get that you're... We're not talking about assistants at this point. There's too much sexual chemistry across the board. Everyone's fucking everyone. Everyone knows. Everyone's cards are on the table. Mm-hmm. She's... If we're just comparing woman to woman, it's not even close. It's LeBron and the big baller brand kid that can't get in the league.
Lonzo, not LaMelo, but the other one? LiAngelo,
the one everyone forgets. The Jonas brother no one wants to fuck in Fuck, Marry, Kill. That is this woman.
I don't know. I can't,
you got Joe Jonas, you got Nick Jonas, and you got No One Will Fuck You Jonas.
You don't know the name, do you?
No one does. No one's ever heard his first name. We don't know. It's Kevin Jonas. Fuck, I hate myself.
Why do you know the Jonas Brothers so well?
So I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
I was an intern at Variety. I can't
stop you. You're an intern at Variety?
Yeah.
Okay.
And during that time, I worked on the Young Hollywood Awards, where and you know me, I don't know the names of anyone at all. I barely know the faces of people I know you personally. You
disrespected the Jonases.
So I did meet Jenna Marbles. That was a cool moment. I saw the entire cast of some season of The Bachelor, and then they gave an award to the guy that's no longer on the show because of racism, because he said racist things, not because they were racist against him, the host, whatever his face is. And so the point of this story is I had myself a lot of cocktails when it was over, and I went to go pee at the after party. And I peed next to a man in a velour suit that was burgundy. And I just said, hey, what's up? And we started talking about random bullshit. And I was just like, I hate it here. I hate the entire thing. I hate Hollywood. I hate celebrities. I hate that I'm doing this. And I hate that I'm dressed the way that I am. And he's like, same. And you know who that person turned out to be after the fact? When my girlfriend was like, what the fuck were you doing with him? Nick Jonas. I peed with Nick Jonas and had a good 10-minute conversation about how I wanted to kill and murder everyone and everything and hated every second of what we were doing. And I think he got off on the fact that I had no idea who the fuck he was.
Garrett, this is a very important follow-up question, so I need you to answer honestly.
Is it about his wiener? Because every girl asks me about his wiener.
I was going to ask if you two crossed streams.
No, we had a partition.
Okay. I know. Well, you've never told me that story.
Yeah, I peed next to Nick Jonas. He's a cool dude. He was legit. I was like, I just thought he was a random guy. I was like, we could have been friends. We could have been.
You didn't recognize him?
No idea. Well, he's also like. Okay, so now I'm going to sound like a fucking asshole. So I'm 6'4". He's not 6'4".
Jesus Christ. He just.
I was looking down at a smaller, younger man, and I just thought, he's a child. He's probably an intern too. Or like a valet. Like, it was a red velour. It just looked like a fucking valet. Like,
that is great.
I thought he was staff. So, like, it wasn't
to help.
Exactly. I was like, oh, you get it. You're also poor. And he's like, yeah, I got here in my Maserati. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go home and cry into my student loan debt.
Wait, but how did you find out it was Jonas Brother?
Oh, because we both walked out talking from the bathroom. My girlfriend almost creamed her jeans.
Jesus Christ.
She's like, oh my God, you peed next to Nick Jonas? And I was like, who? She's like, the Jonas Brother guy. And I was like, oh, that asshole. And then I was like, oh, he's actually super cool. And then she asked me every follow-up question, including what does his penis look like? And I was like, well, we're living together, so I want to see other people.
Okay. So, back to the movie. Sandra Bullock is threatened by redhead lady. They play some very terrible tennis, which I did not appreciate. But it's like, all right, she's hired. You've been onboarded. We're near the end of my term here. And then also, Hugh Grant bringing along, I'm going to call her, the character's name is June. So we'll say June. Yeah.
Yes.
Excuse me. Hugh Grant brings June along to some sort of fundraiser gala thing that's like clown themed. That's supposed to just be, oh, it's just supposed to be Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant. She's like, you broke up with him professionally. And she's a replacement, so her coming isn't the most egregious thing in the world. But it hurts. It's not about facts, you know, it's about feelings.
You know, this movie is Book is just edging himself right now. into the alt-right. No facts don't care about your feelings. Anything for Halle Berry. Shout out the one long-term listener that will understand that joke. Yeah, so this movie is equal parts like you quitting a job and then on your 2 weeks out realizing that you really appreciated the job and maybe second-guessing yourself and romance. Like, she's equal parts being like, ah, fuck, I'm really attracted to my boss. There's great work perks and I get to go to these cool parties and I'm with the number one real estate developer who's not named Donald Trump in New York City. And also my own morality and sense of work-life balance, and these two things are in conflict.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking to Sandy Bullock's sense of morality, it's not just she hates Hugh Grant's company and what he does and how he's both like an empty-headed playboy who just destroys old buildings in New York. Her parents do too. Like, both her parents are lawyers. Mother's a law professor. So they've always engaged her to be like civically active, and that's why her whole thing's like, yo, sit-ins, protecting a Coney Island Community Center, which on one hand, whack, on the other hand, like, she knows what it does for the community, and she was there a lot as a kid. And so she finds out, especially it's like her last day, she walks in on a new girl and Hugh Grant playing like strip chess,
which if you ever watched The Queen's Gambit and you thought, boy, I wish there were more nipples in this, then you need to watch 2 weeks notice.
Well, here's the thing. There's 16 pieces per side in chess, you know, 8 pawns and then other things. And then, wait.
I'm just winking.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't even know what the innuendo is. Like, yeah, pieces. Am I right, fellas?
Yeah. Innuendo, more like in your endo. Hey. Yeah.
Well, this broad, she got great pawns. I don't know. So there's 16 pieces per side, and it's like you can lose most of them. I'm never wearing 16 pieces of clothing, so I suppose you're supposed to be naked by the end of the game.
Yeah, I would assume that the goal is not to complete competitive chess, Boca. But if it is, then I would go with that you would go per piece. If you lose a pawn, you take something off. If you lose a bishop, you take something off. But if you lose two bishops, you don't take two pieces of clothing off.
What do you mean if you lose two what do you mean?
You go per piece, not per amount of pieces.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think I get what you're saying. Well, I would have to see a whiteboard. But yeah, no, I do not want the streams of chess and sex to intercross. You know, when I want to stop thinking about sex, I think about chess.
Sorry, I just received a random text message from a human being that I know that said that Trevor Noah is hot. And I don't know how to come back from that because I don't get it.
I mean, you don't, what do you got to say? It's like, all right, cool. Good for you.
Such a weird off the wall pick. If you're listening this far into the podcast, would you fuck Trevor Noah? Let us know.
Yeah, go to twitter.com, bromancepod, Instagram, bromancepod, and let us know, would you fuck Trevor Noah?
You don't have to think about his last name. That's how I know no one will fuck him.
I don't watch late night. Like, I'd like to call late night.
It's just so mid. That's my biggest problem. I like Trevor Noah, the human. I'm sure I'd get along with him as a human being. But, like, as a show host, you know? For The Daily Show? When was the last time we watched The Daily Show? And there wasn't a clip on TikTok. Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, everything's a clip on TikTok. Wake up, old man. 30-year-old head ass. You want your newspaper all folded up? Huh?
I have Doctor Strange levels of grays. Like, in the temples.
Where? I see no grays.
Okay, from distance, I am young. From distance, I am 24. When you get up close, the mirage begins to fade and the years begin to add on. And if you ever want to see if someone used to be hot when they were older, stand far away from them. You look at an 80-year-old woman from 80 yards away, you'll be like, God damn, that bitch is bad. And then as she walks towards you, you will see every decade compound like interest in Warren Buffett's bank account as she walks towards you. And you can just see through the years as time did her dirty. But goddamn, in 1928, when she had questionable opinions, oh.
I was like, which thing I would tackle here? How 1928 was damn near 100 years ago. How I can't see shit from 80 yards out. From Jesus Christ, leave these 80-year-old women alone. To... you just turned 30, calm down.
All I know is the gray beaver is going extinct. Boca, what happened next in this movie?
So, Sandra Bullock finds out the community center is being torn down, just like we called out. The second you promise something safe at the beginning of a rom-com, it means that it's fucked.
It's fucked.
So she calls him out, but he's very much like, but my brother made me. My brother made me. He's like, bitch, you're an adult. Don't you have even, you presumably have large stake in this company. I've watched enough Succession.
What are you, Kevin Jonas?
Exactly. Leave him alone. Fuck. You're friends with his brother, okay? You're supposed to be nicer than this.
That's true. Man, yeah. He's like a horse.
So it's like, you know, Hugh Grant, you need to step the fuck up. You're not just a child. You think so little of yourself. Whatever. It's Lucy, Sandra Bullock's last day. This new girl tries to stop Sandra Bullock from taking a stapler, and it damn near comes to blows. Because new girl needs to check herself, really.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's so bitchy to be like, I'm pretty sure that stapler is company property. It's like, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't play strip chess with the boss. If you want to play this game, we'll find out who HR has a bigger issue with, the staple thief or you.
Well, all right. There's two things. First, that's why a new girl was trying to get uppity about the stapler. She resented Sandra Bullock for scoffing. New girl said, I like to keep my professional life and personal life separate. Sandra Bullock sucked her teeth. It was like, bitch, I just saw you half naked in our boss's office, apartment. Which part?
Sandra Bullock is not wrong.
Oh, yeah. She's not. But it's like, keep it to yourself, I guess. But also you have feelings for him now, so that's why you're saying something. So new girl tries to stop him from taking stapler. They get into it. And yeah. So that was the big argument near the climax of this film. So after Sandra Bullock's gone, Hugh Grant realizes that he needs to change, which, yes, he does. Yeah. And her new job, it doesn't suck. She's doing the same. She's doing meaningful work, but damn, she's going to miss that paycheck. And also, she could have probably joined a larger nonprofit after working for a large real a company as big as the one she just left, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's no longer being blacklisted, but she whatever. She's about the serious work. She's about rolling her sleeves up. She's like the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she really could have done the corporate bingo at this point.
Like, she couldn't have, or could have.
She could have. Like, this movie very much tries to be like, if you are, like, pro-social responsibility, you will be poor. And it's like, you'd be amazed how many tax loopholes companies will jump through in order to save a buck. You could probably find a job.
Well, it's the thing that, in general, she's opposed to these large companies because, like, it's weird because the money she would get by running the corporate social responsibility for a large corporation is more funds than she would ever have access to. However, she knows, like, that's just pennies of what these companies are doing while they give her the money with their left hand and then they just masturbate crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico with their right hand. So it's like...
But don't you want to be able to work the shaft and control the stream rather than just be on the sideline taking loads to the face?
Garrett, I want you to think about your metaphors, okay? I want you to think about what you say to me and what you want me to respond to.
Boca, don't you make me start thinking, okay? The second I start doing that, this whole podcast unravels.
Don't cross the streams, man. Okay, fine.
You know, I traded bodies with Nick Jonas at the Variety Young Hollywood Awards, and we never switched back since. I am Nick Jonas.
You got Freaky Friday, and you got really used to it.
Yeah, I just got super used to it.
That would be funny. A Freaky Friday that got stuck in it for like 20 years and said, "Fuck it, this is my life now." And then when they go back,
yeah, Nick Jonas was like, "God damn, do I love working in marketing communications?" And then I was like, "Wow, don't I love being a pop star?" And we stayed.
You would hate being a pop star.
No, I'd love it.
You hate social media.
You hate
appearances.
Oh, I love appearances. There's free things in appearances. If the whole world could stroke my ego, I could live in a I don't know, Manhattan Beach penthouse and sleep with whoever I want. Yeah, that's the dream. That's where I want. And sleep with whoever I want and be Nick Jonas. And in exchange, someone else has to operate my limbs and arms and do a day job. To live in San Mateo? Oh my God, I'd be Nick Jonas tomorrow. Fair. Nick Jonas, if you're listening to this, let's Freaky Friday.
I don't know if you know what? He might have that secret Illuminati technology, so let's not knock it out. Really? But
plus, no one will recognize you. It'll be like a vacation.
Oh, wait. No one will recognize who?
Him. It'll be like that little Dickie song with Chris Brown, except I won't hit anyone.
Or just the movie Freaky Friday.
One was funnier than the other.
Fine. So George shows up, Hugh Grant shows up and says, "Hey, so I just gave my first speech without you helping write it, and I was hoping you could give me some notes on how it went." And I have it in front of me. It's a block of text. This movie doesn't warrant me reading the whole thing. But basically he says, "Whoa. Hey, what?
Read the whole thing."
No.
Fine.
He rolled over very easily. So, nice words, nice words, nice words. So, I need to compromise or not compromise, and I miss you, Sandra Bullock, and I love you. He says the whole speech. He says the speech he gave on television, and she's like, "I have to get back to work." So, he leaves, and then she runs after him and is like, "I love you. I love you, too. Cool. We are..." And he got kicked out of the business somehow?
And he's like, "I'm poor now, so we might have to live together, and I might not be able to contribute." I'm like, unless you were snorting all of your stock options and pay for the last 40 years. Well, 20 years. He's probably not that old. 20 years. You're set for life, my man. You are not poor. You are the furthest thing from poor. You'll never have to work again. You're fine.
I just don't understand how, I guess it's all just about how his corporate bylaws were set up. Was like, how are you so easily able to get booted out of a company that you had the last name of? Like,
you can't. If Balliet Industries was the largest fucking conglomerate of real estate development on the Eastern Seaboard. Suck my dick.
Yeah.
Suck, I'd walk into every board meeting and someone would be like, hey, Garrett, what do you think about it? And I would cut them off midstream and say, hey, I'm Nick Jonas. We body swapped in 2014. Suck my dick.
Okay, well, time.
If they don't like that, suck my dick twice.
You sound like Papa John's right now.
Whoa. I have sucked my dick 14 times a day since I got fired off the board for saying racial slurs.
Yeah. So it's like, I know it's possible, but if all you did was say a statement about, hey, we want to honor a promise not to destroy. I'm sidestepping that. We just don't want to destroy a Coney Island Community Center. You can't be like, that's it. You're 30 shit percent of this company. I've now bought you out, I guess. Or it's now null and void or something.
Well, yeah, so that was the thing. The whole threat here is you're like, we'll take away your stock options. I'm like, first off, last name is the company, so probably not. Second off, you'd have to buy me out of them. There's no contract that's ever been written where you can just give the shares away. Yeah. And if you buy me out of any percent of the second largest real estate development company in New York, I am going to be pissing gold bullion in liquid form. Until my grandchildren die.
Yeah, exactly. You may kick me out, but I'm not broke. Well, maybe he doesn't know what broke really is, so he thinks he's broke. That happens.
He's lottery winner rich.
Yeah. All right. So that's the end of the movie. Now they like each other, and we're done thinking about it. Except we have to answer three questions.
What are those questions, Boca?
Garrett.
Yes.
Do they last?
Oh, yeah, they last. She's an annoying, high-octane pain in the ass, and he's an incompetent dildo who will fuck his way up in the world. And him fucking his way ass-backwards into success will give her more opportunities to be type A, and they'll have some weird little mix about it.
Or hell, he can write a book at this point, like, why I got kicked out of my family company for trying to preserve a community center. That's at least a New Yorker article.
Yeah, that's like the premise of Batman.
You want to try again?
Nah, I'm good.
How the fuck is that the premise of Batman?
He's a billionaire. He cares about social causes. His parents disowned him. One, because they got shot in an alley.
You're saying they left him. Oh, my God.
Well, they left him. They didn't stick around. One was shot. The other bought out his shares.
Oh. Okay. All right. So you believe they last. I'm like, I guess, but I don't whatever. Fine. They last. They last. Who'd you love in this movie?
Hugh Grant, Sandra Bullock. But those, we try to go off script. We don't go with main cast in this podcast because we're better than that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go shout out best friend for paying the bills by any means necessary during the early 2000s.
Who, Heather Burns, Miss Rhode Island?
Yeah, she would just cash a check. Girls out here cashing checks, being Sandra Bullock's best friend. And if I could have done it when I was 9 years old as a guy, I would have. But I was not casting material at that age.
I'm on her IMDb now. She was also in You've Got Mail.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't she the best friend then?
She might have worked in the bookstore. That's my guess.
Yeah, she was Meg Ryan's best friend. Goddamn. When she was like... Oh, Tom Hanks could be the Unabomber. And she's like, he's not the Unabomber. It was that.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yep, she was books. Wow. She loves a rom-com. Yeah.
So, You've Got Mail is also in my top five. It's so mediocre, but goddamn does it hit.
You're allergic to the good ones.
Rom-coms are not for the good ones. Rom-coms are fast food. You can't compare French Laundry and In-N-Out.
You're putting the ceiling on the genre. You're telling that's all they'll ever be.
That's all they'll ever be.
The ceiling is the roof, Garrett.
No, it's not. Think about that. This is Marshall Mathers' life story if it was accurate, you know? You stay in the trailer park. Stay where you are. You're trash.
Ouch.
If you had one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, ask me if I want to supersize, you know?
You are a bastard. All right, rate this movie on a scale 1 to 10.
I would go with a strong, thick, engorged 8.
That is way too high. It's a I was at a 4 and said, fuck it, it's a 5, to be kind.
I rounded Boca up. It is a combined 6.5, and I will live on that hill.
Because it's still a fucking D grade.
Hey, D's get degrees. We've had many presidents.
They don't, by the way, right? Like, your school D didn't pass, right?
I've never gotten a D. I don't know what they are.
I mean, kind of me too, as far as, like, as letter grade.
100% you too. 100%, Boca. We are both in the we can't even relate to people that didn't get on the honor roll. If you didn't get on the honor roll, you would have had a nervous breakdown, and I would have been right there next to you in a brownout.
Okay, so that's Bromance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening this far. I don't know what movie we're talking about next week, so we have to sort that out. There'll be something good, palate cleanser.
Can I make an audible live on the podcast?
We'll see if we honor it.
Okay. The movie that I picked that's kind of highbrow, that's probably not a rom-com, but it was labeled as a rom-com with the guy that likes to make everything cutesy. Let's sub that out with Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
So instead of doing the French Dispatch, we're going to do Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, because I didn't think French Dispatch was a rom-com. I was thinking, what the hell are you talking about when you put that down there? So
here we go.
But time out. Is Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion a rom-com, or is it just about two women?
If High School Musical is a rom-com, Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion is a rom-com.
Because it's about two people falling in love?
There's love involved. It's probably not the primary focus. It's more... So here's the thing. High School Musical is chick flick. I would say Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion is also a chick flick. But if we're going to go with that, then this movie passes.
High School Musical was explicitly about Troy and Gabrielle falling in love.
The fact that you remember their names, I've never wanted to give you a swirly so bad. So we're going to watch Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion so I can objectify everyone in that movie.
You do that in every movie.
Lisa Kudrow is a snack, and we need to talk about it. Anyway, we will see you all next week.
Thanks, everybody.